There we go.
Hey, we are back, you guys, after a little drinky poo smoke break here. Emmett is about to propose a thing to Tyler.
Okay. Just carrying on the, the Derrick Rose conversation from earlier. So it disappeared for a bit because I was looking into guys who I think have less accolades or less of a argument for the Hall of Fame than Derrick Rose does. I found Tracy McGrady. Ooh, is in the basketball.
He played for the Raptors, automatic Hall of Fame.
Oh boy. Ray Allen. And
Kyle Lowry.
How many championships does Ray Allen have?
Two. One in 2008 and one in 2013.
Does he have any regular season accolades?
Sorry, Emmett, what's your point? You think Ray Allen doesn't deserve it?
Oh, I'm not saying Ray Allen isn't deserving. Whoa, I'm just saying, like,
he's saying Derrick Rose is more deserving.
I'm saying Derrick, I mean, if we're going off of guys in the Hall of Fame without MVPs, if MVPs is like, you know, the big accolade that you need, Derrick Rose is ahead of Ray Allen. He's ahead of Nico Gallus. He's ahead of Tracy McGrady. He's tied with Allen Iverson. You know what I mean?
How many for MVPs points does Derrick Rose have?
Yeah, like, I'm thinking more career points wise, career assist wise, career rebound wise. Because how many years did he play before he fucking died the first time?
Like 5, 6.
Was it that many?
I think he was drafted at 18.
Okay, Derrick Rose has one MVP and has a 3-time All-Star.
The Jazz are up by 1 with 5 seconds left, Matt.
In the fourth?
Yeah.
Points, career statistics. Here we go.
They were just down by 3. I don't know what happened. There's an instant replay right now.
Fucking money. That's what happened.
Where are we at here?
Who's the points leader right now, Tyler, for them?
D'Angelo Russell's popping. Conley has 26.
I'm content with that. I like Conley. Conley has rejuvenated his career. I love it.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I always thought he was good.
Mike Conley.
I love Mike Conley.
He's a baller. What do you think about the Jazz this year?
Oh my God, dude, this beer's coming back and fighting me. I mean, I think the Jazz have always been legitimate, so I don't think it's that much of a surprise.
I have no faith in them making a championship run anymore.
Ooh.
Why?
I was always skeptical. I was always skeptical.
What's making you skeptical in the last 2 weeks?
What's completely
not winning? Oh, because they don't have the best player on the court. They're still dropping 130 a game, minus last game against Minnesota.
Yeah, you can't be losing to the Timberwolves. You almost lost them again. I don't know. They haven't been impressive all season to me. It's like the Bucks before. They win all regular season, and then when it comes to the playoffs, they don't have the star power to keep up with LeBron or the Nets. They don't.
Yeah,
have
but Milwaukee had Chris Middleton and Giannis. The Jazz.
Whoa! Okay, stop guessing. I'm Chris Middleton.
Yeah, they had Giannis, and they're still winning the regular season.
Okay, man. Like, Chris Middleton's good, but let's not he's act good. Like he's the Klay
Did
Thompson.
He make it,
Steph
I think
Curry
he made
yet.
An All-Star game.
I mean, one in a 3-point contest.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
I think Chris Middleton's bad, but like, you're making Chris Middleton sound like he's a Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah,
yeah. You're like, oh, they had Chris Middleton and Giannis.
Oh no, that was my point. I'm like, that's all Milwaukee had. They didn't actually have
like,
a lot of
like
good
like,
players.
That was like the big deal was that Chris Middleton and Giannis.
No. Like, I'm the opposite. I was questioning. I was like, why is this dude like that? I'm with him. The Jazz literally have like 8 players who could come off the bench and just fire away from 3 and make it.
As a Raptors fan, over the years, I've learned having a bench in the playoffs doesn't mean fuck all.
Because you're a Raptors fan, that's why.
No, because
LeBron owned you guys for 8 years.
No, we had the best bench in the NBA for years. And as soon as playoffs come, the bench is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what the bench does. It's all about the starters.
I don't know. I disagree. I think the bench has a bigger role.
You're 6th man, maybe 7th, but that's all.
Why do you think the Spurs won all those championships? Because their 8th guy was the difference. Because Boris Diaw came in there and gave them those 6 points that they needed to win and those 3 assists more.
I don't think that's why.
That's why. Like, granted, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, those were big contributors. But the reason that they were got that extra 1-2% to win the championship, that's all you need, was their eighth contributor off the bench.
I don't think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson win those championships if they don't have those giant nobodies grabbing boards for them to get them back on offense.
If they didn't have Harrison Barnes.
Well, I was almost said Festus Ezeli, but I was didn't want to embarrass myself.
But at the end of the day, it all depends on what team you have. Brooklyn, yeah, their main contributors, 80% of their game, whatever's going to happen, relies on Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. But at the end of the day, the Nets, their seventh guy and eighth guy.
Do you want to make a bet right now?
I bet you
$20 that the Jazz don't make the NBA Finals.
I'll bet you $50 that they do.
Okay, fine. They just lost to the fucking Timberwolves in the second game.
Honestly, at this point, I'm just gearing up for playoffs. We got the first seed locked up.
Okay, $50 if they make the final?
Yeah.
All right, done.
Bet. I hope they win. It's going to be a big payday for me. It's going to be $275 I get when they win.
That would be nice, but not going to happen. Anyways,
so just that they make the NBA Finals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jazz are going to make the NBA Finals.
You think so?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Yes or no? Sorry.
Yeah. The Jazz are going to make the NBA Finals.
Out of all years, this is the year that an underdog team, quote-unquote underdog team, is going to push through the finals. The West is really wishy-washy as it stands right now.
Yeah, so this year, there's been so many injuries, I feel like, that there's been so many, like, come-out teams. Like, we've had years, like, Atlanta all of a sudden, the Knicks, the, who else? Was
Hornets.
Hornets, that's what I was thinking of. Thank you.
But you go look at the West, though. Denver, they're not making a deep playoff push without Jamal Murray. They might make a good first round series, but I don't think they're going past that.
I'm still very
LA Clippers. I'm pretty wary on them unless playoff Rondo's a thing still. But at the end of the day,
I don't see the Clippers doing that much.
I don't. Clippers are no. I'm not sold on the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm not either. What about the Suns?
No.
They're like the ultimate underdog, so it's hard for me to like actively root against the Suns. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see them do well, but
they're in the same tier as the Jazz.
I would say they're a tier below. Like, they're like the Milwaukee Bucks, where they got some good players, some good pieces, but come playoff time, they don't have the full team package.
You want to see Devin Booker in the fucking bubble last year?
Yo, that's true. That he's an animal. But,
but Devin Booker's been doing that for years. It's only now that people started fully, like, more people started noticing.
He's younger than Donovan Mitchell.
No, him and Donovan Mitchell are like the same player. That's why I have them in the same category. I'd maybe elevate Booker, but then your supporting cast is better.
No, yeah, Booker's better than Mitchell for sure. Like, hands down. They have DeAndre Ayton. No, he's a good man in the middle, but at the end of the day, though, the Jazz, they're eight men deep and all of them can shoot except for Gobert and Favors. No, they got shooters around. He's shooting like 42%. Oh, yeah,
I thought he was complete dog shit. Actually.
No, the last 2 months, he's at 2 or 3 months, he's been up to 42% now, I think.
So he's gotten good at shooting. So I was not wrong in thinking that he was shit.
He was a shooter. Like, he had confidence in his shot, but now he's getting like good shooting though. So I don't know. That's my take. I'm definitely biased. Like, I love the Jazz, and I'm finally seeing this team being just like popping off. So I'm sucking their dick. But I don't know what I'm seeing though. They're a fun team to watch. They're a good team to watch. And
even though they're losing the Timberwolves and cost me fucking money.
Donovan Mitchell's out, man. I'm
it's just the Timberwolves.
I'm just getting ready for playoffs, man.
Timberwolves suck, man.
I'm just getting ready for playoffs at this point. That first seed's looking juicy. We're taking out.
Emmett, who do you have in your NBA Finals?
Oh, we got to go off screen for this bad boy.
I'm just looking at the table. I'm looking like how many teams are games out, because it's kind of ugly in the Western Conference. You only need to
look at the top 4 or 5.
Yeah, because of injuries right now, it's only like 12. It's 10 or 12 games left now. Western
Conference. It's like, would you realize that the Mavericks are only like, where's the my games? Mavericks
should be better than they are, though.
Yeah, That's true. I don't know.
They're missing the few key pieces.
They have a good Western score. Conference is so ugly right now as I look at it. Like, the only part that's interesting about the Western Conference is the top three, which is your Jazz, Suns, and Clippers. They're, like, the only teams
that are
super competitive. Well, the Lakers are going to be the Lakers, right? Like, they're going to go to the playoffs. LeBron's going to be healthy. AD's going to be healthy. It's all going to work out perfectly in L.A.
And LeBron takes his team to the finals every fucking year. It happens. It's a lock.
Yeah, well, of course. That's just because he's arguably the best player of all time. That's what you would expect.
Yeah, okay. So they're clearly going to beat the Jazz.
Well, you have a $50 bet saying that they're going to make it there, so you better hope they don't. But anyways, like, it's probably going to be either the Jazz or the Lakers against the Nets.
I don't need the Jazz or the Lakers. I need your definitive picks of who's winning and how many games.
I think Lakers-Nets.
I got
Nets. Fuck you. Six.
Well, I'd like to see the Jazz, but I mean...
Yeah. I'd like to see the Jazz.
I'd like to see the Suns. I'd like to see the Jazz. I'd like to see somebody else. But playoff LeBron has yet to be full-on defeated. Like,
it's like betting against Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
And I learned that the hard way this Super Bowl. I bet a lot of money against Tom Brady, and I lost big. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like you say, it's like betting against Tom Brady. Like, you just can't. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see the Suns make it to the finals. I'd love to see the Jazz make it to the finals. I'd love to see, like, the Mavericks come out of nowhere and make the finals. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because LeBron will just not let it.
Yeah.
He will do everything in his power not to. And I don't think in the East anyone can take out the Nets, whether Kevin Durant's on the floor or not.
Well, if James Harden is healthy.
Well, yeah, that's presuming. But, I mean, all signs right now kind of point towards him being healthy.
Suffered a setback, so who knows?
I presume he's going to find a way to make it in the playoffs.
I mean, but I'm sure
he's at least going to sit out the first round. He's going to sit out the rounds.
I think that team has the firepower to beat a first round, an eighth seed.
Yeah.
I would presume.
Yeah, especially without Harden. Right now.
Yeah, without Harden. So, I mean, I think once that team's back in full rotation, I don't think anyone's going
to
beat the Nets.
Harden just has to go get a couple lap dances in Atlanta, and he'll be all good.
He's got to go visit Magic City. Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, but it has to be Lakers and Nets. Like, this has to be the meeting of the super teams. It has to be proving that LeBron can take out more than just one super team.
Oh, I got the Nets. So.
See, I myself have the Jazz beating the Nets in seven. Cocky, I know. But one thing about the East, is like Ty and I talked about this as well too. The Bucks didn't get better this year. I don't see why Giannis even re-signed there unless he wants to just stay loyal. Like, if he's truly trying to win a championship and he trusted their front office, they let him down because their team now is not as good as it used to be. Philadelphia, I have just like the complete opposite of LeBron James. I have yet to see any progress for them that gives me an opportunity.
Trust
the
process, bro.
It's always second round exits.
They've been trusting the process. Yeah, they've been trusting the process for almost 10 years now.
However long Embiid's been in the fucking.
And out of the last 5 years, this roster looks the weakest it's looked.
They've had a better chance 3 years ago than they have this year.
Their best chance is when Kawhi fucking hit that dagger of a shot.
Yeah, I think that was definitely their without a doubt their best year.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think that just ruined it for them. And it's just been slowly downhill.
But I still think no matter what happens to the Sixers, you build around Embiid. You do not build around Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But Embiid definitely.
What do you think about Ben Simmons? Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
I'd probably say properly rated. I don't think people are really hyping up Ben Simmons that much.
Unless you live in Philadelphia.
Yeah, unless you're from Philly. I don't think you're really hyping up Ben Simmons. I mean, he still hasn't improved his long-range game that drastically.
Yeah.
He's still the same player. I mean, he's good, but
he's good. What he does, I think people just good, but
I think people just kind of have him as like good, helpful.
Do you think he's All-Star worthy?
Not.
The NBA All-Star voting is a joke. So
yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Devin Booker doesn't get it. Devin Booker's always a reserve, which is completely stupid. He should be pushing for a starting position.
Yes. Oh yeah. But so that's what I mean. Like NBA All-Star voting is purely pretty much a popularity contest. So
that's why fan voting for All-Star games doesn't work.
Yeah, I think you got to take fan voting out of some things. Well, I think there's got to be a better way to do it.
They took it out of hockey because it was a joke. Or they changed it so you couldn't vote for anyone. They give you players to pick because they one time in the NHL they voted a fourth-line grinder into the playoffs or into the All-Star game.
That was like when Alex Caruso was at the top three votes for point guards or something like that, like 2 or 3 years ago. It's like, yeah. Okay, this dude is.
Well, not, I think like, I was on cool the guy, show but... saying that was like fun. So I don't want to really contradict myself.
No, it's fun, but
it's fun, but it's like it discredits the award itself. It doesn't make it as serious as it used to be.
It's great fan service.
But I don't know about basketball, but I know for sure in hockey, like players have bonuses in their contracts.
I'm sure it happens in basketball as well too. If you become an All-Star,
you get bonuses for making the All-Star game. And if you have a shitty fan vote, you got randoms coming in over someone who deserves it. And if I'm on that bonus, that sucks.
Well, if I'm a Devin Booker,
if I'm Devin Booker, I'm pissed that Alex Caruso gets fan voted simply because he's a white guy that can jump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think it's good that they give the fans some control. And I think, it's fun to have, you know, whoever was the two players that were high up on the voting. It was Alex Caruso and somebody else. I think Taco Fall, I believe.
Yeah, Taco Fall's up there too, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was like, that's fun because you kind of got, you know, fan favorites going in and you want to see your fan favorites on All-Star Weekend. But I also think it's a bit of a joke too. So, I don't know.
All-Star games are kind of a joke now anyways. So we finally transitioned to some NFL because supposedly the Falcons are trading Julio Jones because they can't afford to pay their draft class this year.
Whoa, when did this come out?
Today?
That's such an Atlanta headline.
Really?
Yeah.
That's such an Atlanta headline.
Why couldn't they? Sorry, I was kind of like taken back by the news itself. Why?
Because there's rumors they're going to trade Julio anyway just because they're stuck in rebuilding. But apparently they're so close to the cap, they can't afford to pay the players they draft and sign them to contract because they don't have enough cap space.
Get rid of Matt Ryan then, if anything. God damn.
You're going to get a lot more for Julio. You're going to have to give something up.
Yeah, you get a lot of trade out. You get a lot of draft trade assets for Julio Jones.
That's fair. And it'd be a quicker rebuild because they have the fourth overall pick, correct?
They also have Calvin Ridley, who should be a number one.
No. Calvin Ridley is not a number one.
He's not an all-star like Julio, but I think he can be your number one for the team.
I don't think so. Not
a Super Bowl team, but for your teammates, that's good enough.
Now, this is one of my hot takes that Matt's used to.
They're interesting.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
You ready for this one? I think Calvin Ridley is a bit like he's kind of penciled. For me, he's penciled himself. Although he had a great season, I think he's penciled himself in as a bit of a Michael Gallup. Do you know what I mean when I say a Michael Gallup type?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He's great when he's on that team. So, you know, he does all these great things. He makes all these great plays. Everyone goes, oh, my God, that's a number one receiver. Look at the plays he's making. You put him at the number one receiver on another team or on the same team. It just never works out. I forget the player's name, but it happened with Michael Irvin in the 90s. The second wide receiver made a couple big catches in a couple big games. And everyone went, well, that's number one receiver. He's just going to rot in Dallas. As a number two, they push him to a number one spot in another team. He does nothing. I think that's would be the case of Calvin Ridley. The
opportunity to play as a number one because of Julio Jones' injuries, and he still put up good numbers.
There's a point to be made for that, but I think he's a bit of a Michael Gallup type, and I think if you put him in another roster, he kind of disappears.
If I'm remembering his body type correctly, he's the shorter guy on Atlanta.
Yes, he's fairly. Yeah,
I'm gonna put this out right now. First receivers are not the speedy short guys. Those are usually the longer receivers that go out for jump balls. You want your best receiver in the jump ball situation, one on one. You don't want them. You want the speedy fast guy running those under routes. That's the big guy gets all the attention downfield because 80% of the time DeAndre Hopkins wins those one on ones. So they have to double team that. And then underneath, it's wide open for the speedy, fast guy to get it and outrun everybody.
Yeah, and that's the way they were using Calvin Ridley. Okay, even when he was at number one, he was still running short routes and screens and making plays with his legs.
I think there's no discredit to that, though, to Calvin Ridley, though. It's like Manu Ginobili. Manu Ginobili is a spectacular off the bench. But then the second he's a starter, I don't think
Calvin Ridley. I just don't think he's number one receiver.
I think he's as good as Michael Gallup, which I think is a little disrespectful.
But no, I'm not saying he's as good as Michael Gallup. No. I never said he was as good as Michael Gallup. I said he's penciled himself into that role as a Michael Gallup.
Also, with your guys' logic, Tyreek Hill's not number one then.
Nope.
He's not. He runs a different position.
Nope. Does it matter?
Tyreek Hill's not a number one. He might be your best receiver, but he's not your number one, though. He's in a different. They play Tyreek Hill in a different position.
Wide receiver number one. That's fine. Like that's what
wide receiver number one's on a specified spot on the field, Matt.
It usually is, though. It's usually specified to the wide out on the left hand or the right hand side. Sorry, with the quarterback. That's usually their standout receiver.
Normally, you move your receivers around. That's
just because you're wide receiver number two doesn't mean you're like you're the worst. You're like the second best wide receiver.
So who's Kansas City's wide receiver one?
Wouldn't it be well, it wasn't Hardman?
Fuck, man, I don't even know not if they Hardman. Have a wideout.
It wasn't be, Sammy Watkins.
Who but Kansas City runs an odd offense though, where they have their receivers though.
I still
like coming across the line.
Question.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I don't know Kansas City's depth chart that well.
As you can see, based on my room, I'm quite the big Seattle fan. In case you were missing out on some of this stuff,
I'm aware. How hard
I think Tyler Lockett. Is a better receiver than DK Metcalf is right now, and Tyler Lockett's our receiver number two.
I don't know what happened to him this year. His stats went way down.
Lockett?
Yeah.
He just set a franchise record this year.
Did he?
Yeah.
All I heard was everyone's sucking off DK Metcalf this year.
Well, yeah. He's the newest, biggest specialist thing.
Yeah, but he was making plays a couple years ago. I hadn't heard his name once last year.
You got to watch more Seahawks games then.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't like the Seahawks at all.
Me neither.
Yeah, but you're a Cardinals fan, so I'd expect that from you.
I'm a Ravens fan.
But I'm telling you, I think Lockett's a way better receiver than the Metcalf is. He's our wide receiver number two.
I think the confusion is between us is the definition of what we think a one receiver is.
Yeah, and I think
he is way more athletic than Tyler Lockett. He makes bigger plays.
Yeah, that's why he's a wide receiver number one.
Okay.
He's closest to Russell Wilson's right-hand side. He can win jump balls. Lockett's the guy who's going to run short routes or run these huge-ass looping routes across the field, just like Tyreek Hill.
Okay, so what I'm seeing here is that – so definitely miscommunication. Tyler is saying that the number one receiver is just your best receiver, regardless if they're tight end, slot back, or receiver.
That's your wide receiver one. Is your
Emmett and I are discussing it in the position wise. We're like your wide receiver number one is usually there.
Who the fuck talks about it that way? That's just dumb.
I don't know. We do. We're
football players. Yeah. We're football players.
Yeah. That's usually how they strategically place the receivers. Is receiver one is the best at jump balls and deep balls.
Oh, might I also say to any Seahawks fans listening, I do think DK Metcalf will be a better receiver than Tyler Lockett. But
yeah, I think
Tyler Lockett. I think he'll end up being a better receiver. But I think as of right now, no matter how big DK Metcalf's plays are, I think Tyler Lockett's a better wide receiver.
Yeah. As a Seahawks fan, what's your opinion on the Russell Wilson situation? Ooh. Are you nervous? Is he going to win next year?
No.
What if he's the most sacked quarterback again this year? You don't think he's going to
will be the most sacked quarterback this year. He's been the most sacked quarterback for like the past 4 years. It's only now that he's voiced his pleasure.
I know. So you don't think it's going to get worse if things don't get better next year?
No, he's running our front office. That's why Chris Carson got re-signed.
So who do you think is more likely to go? Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll?
Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that'll happen if you guys have another year like last year?
If we let Russell Wilson run front office, it will. Ever since that Super Bowl, which I don't want to talk about, the player coach reaction has totally collapsed in itself. It's totally imploded, and you can see it. Well, it's living proof in Earl Thomas. It's living proof in Richard Sherman. It's living proof in Marshawn Lynch.
People bring
all of these guys.
So do you think it's Pete Carroll who fumbled the ball on this one, and it's kind of the reason that this organization has collapsed to an extent?
Yep. I like Pete Carroll.
Blame the head coach on you having a shit O-line, though.
Well, because our this is the same guy who's going after Josh Gordon and not O-line depth.
Well, I thought Russell liked
Do you know who Joey Hunt is?
Nope.
Yeah, well, that was our starting center for half the year this year.
Hey, that's not, so, yeah. But that should be
we were still to going,
be drafting better O-line.
Pete Carroll's in the war room every year. He also sure. trades away our first round picks for Blitz Boy.
Yeah.
So
what that, do you think? So what Jamal do you think Pete Adams Carroll needs to do been, then?
I mean, I think he's got to have Russell Wilson in his ear.
I can't believe I don't know how,
because I think Russell Wilson speaks not only for himself but for every frustrated Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
I think Russell Wilson is just the embodiment of the frustration that I've had and every other Seahawks fan has since the Marshawn Lynch era ended, is that our O-line is awful.
Yeah. Do you like the Chris Carson resigning? Because I don't.
It's Russell Wilson being GM. It's Russell Wilson playing God amongst that organization.
Do you think Chris Carson's a good number one running back?
I do.
Okay.
I think he is a bit injury prone, but I think his numbers in the past 3 years have been the deciding factor between Russell Wilson telling the GM to re-sign him and Russell Wilson telling him you can go.
How is the Seahawks run offense? Their offensive line in the run?
Not great. That's mean.
Because like you look at Ezekiel Elliott, now that he doesn't have a good O-lineman, he's just an average running. Like he's a good running back.
Yeah, I'm disagreeing average. To look at Chris Carson's stats.
I do feel bad for him.
If they had a better O-line, Chris Carson would have better numbers. But there's definitely better difference makers out there that don't need as much help.
Well, how much is he getting paid? Do you like you know off the top of your head? Like, was it an average running back contract or?
Yeah, it wasn't insane. He was re-signed to something pretty decent.
Yeah,
was he was re-signed a 2-year contract, and I didn't get the number. But hold on, I'm trying to find his career statistics here. Here we go. So, in 2018, he had 1,151 yards. In 2019, he had 1,230. This year, he had 681, but was injured for a bit little while in the season. I forget for how long, but it was a couple weeks.
Yeah,
he towards was the end of the season
for a bit. His contract's worth up to 14.6 mil.
Okay, well, for 2 years.
With a 3-year option.
I mean,
and
I think
Chris Carson's a big believer in the Seahawks running game. Our running game has been drastically declining, but I mean, for an offensive line that gives up so many sacks, our running back, when not injured, was going for about 1,000 yards a season. So there has to be something said that we have the capability to block for the run and not so much the pass. Because we are still, even with Russell Wilson, that team is still very run focused. And then once that whole let Russ cook thing fell in on itself, we went back to running the football. And it worked. So,
I mean, did it really work?
Well, it was better than watching Russell Wilson throw games away.
It's all about Russell Wilson getting that MVP trophy. That's what, that's what let Russell was all about, man. Get him that MVP.
And then he played, what team is that? I forget now. Where he played like shit and then everything fell apart because he lost his confidence.
So, do you feel like that Seahawks should try to establish more of their run game or their pass game then?
I think
because I know Russell Wilson is trying to get Pete Carroll to give him the offense like Aaron Rodgers does, like Aaron Rodgers has. Well, he throws 40, 50 times a game.
We won a Super Bowl with a run-focused team.
Yeah, but I think there's a big difference.
We almost went back-to-back with a run-focused
team. Marshawn Lynch and Chris Carson.
Historically, maybe. I think Chris Carson has done an excellent job.
Well, I'm not saying, but like, I feel like it's just a different style of runners too. Like,
not really.
Chris
Carson does a lot of between the tackles running.
Yeah,
he's primarily a head first runner.
He's not running people over like Marshawn though.
No one. Very few players run people over like Marshawn.
That's why you just get a Lamar Jackson who just runs around players.
Yeah, and then loses in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it's only a, he's still younger than Joey Burrow, so I still got this.
I still think Joe Burrow will be better.
Huh. Interesting.
He's won an MVP before most players get
that. Yeah, I'll respect that. You know, I can talk shit about Lamar Jackson, but at the end of the day, I am aware that he's very young in his career. Although the downside to him, though, it's like a very Michael Vick situation. He's going to have to be able to transform his game to be able to have a prolonged career.
He'll start dogfighting?
I don't believe so.
Oh, shit.
Oops.
R.I.P. Michael Vick. Damn.
Well, no, listen, Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's got the MVPs. Like you said, he's got an MVP before most guys get drafted. He's very successful in the regular season, and then nothing ever comes of it.
Well, I mean, this has been
two I do years, hate so. That statement, though. Granted, I understand where it comes from because you do see past quarterbacks. Like Tom Brady gets all the glory when he wins the championship, even though during the Super Bowl, it was their defense that won them the championship. And
oh, that defense was so good.
Oh, it's unstoppable. Yeah. Like, no, vice versa, never mind. But with Lamar Jackson not winning playoff games, I feel like it's a very crappy thing to put on somebody, especially a quarterback, saying he can't play in the playoffs. Because it's like he does have a playoff game. But it's like at the end of the day, it's so much more aspects to the game than just what the quarterback does.
Well, yeah, like
so the first year we a lot of it does rely on the quarterback, though. But
so Tyler, really if I say that some people, sorry, Ty.
No,
if I say that some people think that Lamar Jackson is Terrell Pryor with the sniper gang chain, does that get under your skin?
No, not at all. It just I get annoyed with people saying, "Oh, he can't win in the playoffs because he's literally only 24." And his passing improves. It's only going to improve and make him a better player. Plus, we were missing our best O lineman, which really sucks. Which
Stanley, right?
Yeah,
Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah, and
speaking of which, what do you think about getting rid of
Jesus? Sure about, yeah,
hold on. And if we get an actual true number one wide receiver, then we'll actually have a better chance. Because Marquise Brown's too small and he's not
good. Marquise Brown is one. I don't know if he's
a. He's a good second receiver.
Yeah, he's not.
He's the way to that conversation.
He can't catch the ball. He's too many balls. But no, Orlando Brown, I don't know how. The thing I hate most about it is that he went to the Chiefs and to make the Chiefs a way better team.
Who did they get for him?
We got a first. They're the Chiefs' first round pick this year and the third round pick.
Was okay, excuse me, because I don't watch a lot of Ravens. Was Orlando Brown Jr. that good?
Yeah, we should have got more for him, but we couldn't get more because
he didn't think he was that good.
He was our starting left tackle after Stanley got hurt, and that's why he wanted out, because he doesn't want to play the right side anymore. He wants to play left side because he's that good and he wants to get paid more. So, ergo, the Chiefs traded for him. I think the Seahawks should have traded for him. I don't know what the fuck the Seahawks should have done.
I don't know. Russell Wilson wants more O-line, gets into GM's ear, and then re-signs Chris Carson because he likes Chris Carson.
Wasn't Russell Wilson trying to preach more, he was trying to get more of the throwing game going, right? To Pete Carroll, that was the big fight, I thought.
Yeah,
Pete Carroll wants
to that was the whole Let Russ Cook movement, was he wanted to throw the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Seahawks have always been a run-first team.
Yeah,
like when we won, like I say, when we won the Super Bowl, that was a run first team. We went back. That was a run first team. Matt
Hasselbeck and Sean Alexander
and I as well. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think the way that you open up that offense is by running. Mm. When that whole that Russ Cook thing, it was great for the first 4 or 5 weeks because no one knew how to defend it.
Yeah.
And we had athletes on offense that were capable of making plays even if they did know it.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be Tyler Lockett's route running ability and DK Metcalf's pure freak athleticism. But the way you open that up is you have to make teams respect the run first.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because if they know you're going to throw three downs out of three, they're just going to play off.
Yeah, that's fair.
From a defensive standpoint, you're just going to play off. You know they're going to throw.
Mm-hmm.
They know what you know as a team what they're trying to identify as and what they're pushing for.
Yep.
So you play off. No one's going to respect Chris Carson if you don't make them respect Chris Carson. So the way you open up that offense is by having guys come down and respect the run first. by establishing the run. Then once players come down and safeties move into the box, that's when you can have a guy like DK or a guy like Lockett run for 50 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. You can't open up that offense without having a run game first. Which is why
just the way it's built. It's not like a Tom Brady offense where you can just throw and throw and throw.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Actually. Lockett and Metcalf are not the type of players that want to catch slants and hooks and in zone game. Eventually, they want the home run ball, both of them. You know what I mean? Both of them want that home run ball eventually. Like Tyler Lockett's more willing as a veteran to go, you know, do the dirty work, go 5 yards and 5 yards and in, where Metcalf is not that type of guy. He's a hungry, you know.
Hey, he wants to get paid still.
Mm-hmm. Metcalf, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We got to – I mean, I don't know what that team's going to be. I hope we get to keep DK Metcalf.
I think you should let Tyler Lockett go before you let DK go.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to keep both, but I think the only way you keep both is you have to get rid of Russell Wilson.
What do you guys think about the Green Bay Packers offseason? Getting back Aaron Jones. You know, like what? I feel so bad for Aaron Rodgers.
All they did was lose their starting all-star center.
Like, I feel so bad for him. They don't spend in free agency at all.
But they historically don't.
Yeah, but a lot of people
For the last 20 years, like the third lowest team that's paid out during free agency.
Because if you're
draft another quarterback, that seems to piss off Aaron Rodgers and lead you to some success. Go draft Zach Wilson or something. Free agent, though,
and you're getting paid a lot of money. Do you really want to go live in Green Bay? Probably not. That's not a fun town or city to go live in.
That's a fair point. It's not a free agent destination.
So historically, they're just a draft grown talent and develop, and it's worked out for them.
Yeah, they have their own. They have their own system, and like Tyler said, it's not a pretty destination. You're not going to play in Miami. You're not going to play in Tampa. You're not going to play in LA.
Yeah.
You're going to Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, I mean, if you're a big fan of NFL history, which a lot of these kids like aren't, like I don't think they could truly care that much. Yeah. But, I mean, it's cool, I guess. But I don't think the starting safety, like, you know, just pure example, the starting safety from Florida Atlantic is really excited when he gets drafted to go live in winter 7 months of the year.
Yeah, and have to play in it as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he's pleased, but, I mean, they don't spend in free agency because they know no one wants to go there in free agency. Mm-hmm. No one wants to live in the cold for 7 months out of the year. So, like Tyler said, they'll draft talent, they'll develop talent, they'll pick up guys with potential, and they'll either get a diamond in the rough or they'll cut their losses. It's just the way that team works.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're developing a guy and he's living there, you learn to like it, enjoy it, and then you're more willing to stay than you are just a guy coming from Miami. All of a sudden, you're, oh, I don't want to go fucking Green Bay. Like, there's not a club in sight here.
Yeah, there's snow on the ground. That's a good point too. I know I've always given the Green Bay front office criticism. I'm like, they need to spend some money to win some championships, but that's a good point. It's like the Utah Jazz. Nobody wants to go play for the Jazz.
Yeah, we were just laughing at Pittsburgh clubs. Could you imagine what a club in Green Bay, Wisconsin looks like?
No.
Probably the bikers hang out, the Hell's Angels hang out at.
I think it's just farmers.
It's got Christmas lights on the wall and like a single desolate dartboard.
Yeah.
A poorly lit pool table. You can see like the dust.
A group of racists in the corner. Definitely. Nazi symbols cut in their hair.
Definitely lots of fights.
Oh man. Shit. You just, and like a wooden bar, like a wooden, like a wooden bar, like the rough and tumble 50-year-old lady who's 80 pounds who serves drinks. Like it's gotta be ugly.
She sleeps with a new guy every weekend to cover her rent.
She's got like a terrible like heart tattoo on her upper forearm. And she's got like that rough and tumble cigarette voice.
Tramp stamp on the rear end.
The poorly dyed red hair with like the gray roots.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right, gentlemen. Well, we're under 1 minute again for this.
Yeah. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We blew through 2 40-minute sessions there.
Yeah, GG. Do you guys GG? I know it's 9 o'clock.
Is it?
Yeah, we flew through an hour and a half of conversation there.
Wow, we did pretty good. We had-